Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, we'd like to thank you radio show. Hi, my name is Aaron Snowell, and they call me the Hall of Fame Trainer of Champions. And in studio, we have Bob, the radio aficionado from Boxville, Pennsylvania. Man, what's going on, Bob?
Hey, Aaron, you know, I want to mention one thing here. Today is actually our one-year anniversary show.
Wow.
So we came on the air last year on the 16th, and there was actually some hurricane going by last year, too, as we know. But this is our 54th show, but it just works out that it's a calendar year now. So there we go, man. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, we got one year under. How many shows we have?
54 this will be today. No, 54. Sometimes
there's
53 Saturdays in last year there were.
Wow.
52 weeks with 53
okay.
Saturdays. Got to figure that one out.
Yeah, well,
but,
hey, look, congratulations off to you, Henry Haskup.
And you as well, Tony.
Yeah, and Tony Treem for doing a great job. To delivering, you know, the boxing news, the history, the legend tales,
and
man,
some of the great guests we had on too, our great guests too, and we're going to be bringing one back that we had on earlier in the year too. So we'll be talking to him in a little bit.
Yeah, but before we move on, our prayers go out to the family and friends in North Carolina, and we're praying for the people who are in flooded areas in New Wilmington and New Bern and Ricefield Beach and South Carolina. Our friends in South Carolina, our prayers go out for you, and that the Lord has kept you safe just far, and that you have a speedy recovery, and those who had fatalities that you be able to rebuild again. You know, it's really, really something. You know, that rain, you know, the amount of water that dropped. They said, Bob, that the storm was pulling the water and sand from the beach and dumping it on the inland. So, and it's going to be raining.
Yeah,
surges, and it's going to be raining to around about Monday or Tuesday, man. So we just keep
about
everybody
30, 40 inches of rain. That's wild. 30 inches, 3 feet of rain. That's just pure rain. That's a flood right there.
What was it? 200 trillion, something like that, gallons of water or something like that has been dumped on. You know, Wilmington, you know, they have the film industry down there. They're going to be affected by it because there's heavy flooding all over. So we just keep our prayers out and those who had fatalities that the Lord bless them to recover, you know, from it. So there's lessons to learn.
Yeah.
People grow and things change. People happen. People live. People die. But time's going to move on. And we just ask the Lord to bless people, you know, put the blessing on everybody. But, Bob, with that said, you know, what's going on around the world, man? There's a lot of big things happening in the world of boxing. And what's happening, man? We go take us around the world like you do every weekend. Man, this is
we'll
our special day, man. This is our new year. Let's go around the world, man.
Let's go around the world. Okay. Hey, but all eyes tonight are at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada, USA. With this highly anticipated, of course, rematch between Saul Canelo Alvarez, 49-1-2, 34 knockouts, and Gennady Triple G Golovkin, 38-0-1, 34 KOs. And that's with G's three titles, the WBC World Middleweight, the IBO World Middleweight, and the WBA Super World Middleweight titles. The David Lemieux, 39-4, 33 KOs versus Gary O'Sullivan, 28-2, 20 knockouts. The middleweight match tops, which will also see unbeaten Jaime Munguia. He's 30-0, 25 KOs, stepping in against the 20-1 with 13 knockouts, Brandon Cook, for the WBO World Super Welterweight crown. And the 46-2, Roman Gonzalez, takes on Walter Fuentes, 25-5-1 in a super flyweight contest. And down the road from here in Hockessin, Delaware, Philly's own Derek Webster We like this kid. He's 27-1, 14 knockouts. And Aaron, this was the guy I was telling you about. He's the ABF Continental America title holder, and he won that fight in Atlantic City on Evander Holyfield's Real Deal production that night while the Hall of Fame was taking place, the Boxing Hall of Fame in Atlantic City. So this kid's getting a little name for himself, playing around the area, and be a good fight down there in Hockerson, Delaware. Yeah,
he's top brass, man. I like his class. I like his style. He fights so good. We're going to see him nice and quick in a while. You know, he's going to be quick, as Ali used to say. You know, he's doing a great job, man. I like his personality. He got plenty of class, man. He's a classy guy.
Yeah,
not only that, he can fight Bob.
Right, yeah. And he battles Milton Nunes tonight. He's got a record of 35-19-1. And they're super middleweights. It's an 8-round feature. Also, the local favorite, Joey Tiberi Jr., 15-3 with 8 knockouts, battle Francisco Medel. He's 12-14 in a lightweight fight. Atlanta DA will feature Jesus Tavera, 9-6 in the welterweight headliner there. And up in Kedgewick, New Brunswick, Canada, it's the heavyweight contest between Steve Woodall and Kevin DeBaguire at the top of the card. In Buenos Aires, Argentina, the night is highlighted by the Marcelo Fabian Caceres, 17-3, versus Gaston Alejandro Vega, 28-13-2. Fight for the South American middleweight belt. And in Merlo, it's Gabriela Celeste Alaniz taking on Aixa Adema in a female super flyweight feature. While over in Los Hornos, it's Arnaldo Achucaro versus Agustin Dinil in a middleweight topper. Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, will feature unbeaten Brian Ribeiro, 5-0, and Ismael Bonfim, 4-1, vying for the Brazilian super middleweight title. Mato Grosso do Sul will feature Luis Claudio Cardoso da Silva, 3-1, versus Sid Edson Bispo Ribeiro, 17-7, vying for the Brazilian featherweight crown. We are now in Beni, Bolivia, will highlight the veteran heavyweight Saul Farah's battle. He's 67-23-3, fighting his 94th professional fight. He's one of those great regional guys that keep boxing alive down in South America. He's battling Jorge Antonio Corimayo, who's 19-10-2. And in Managua, Nicaragua, the bantamweight fight between Brian Pettis, 11-6-1, and Limber Ramirez, 10-1, will top the card. Action throughout the UK tonight. We'll start with Nina Bradley, 5-0, taking on Farish Mashuhari, 6-0, for the vacant Commonwealth British Empire female super lightweight title in Leicester, while Manchester will witness Mark Leach, 10-1-1, versus Lewis Norman, 13-5-1, in a bantamweight battle at the top. Also, 9-0, Danny Wright steps in against Zoltan Szabo, 25-12, in a super lightweight contest as part of the big undercard. Plymouth and Devon will see the lightweight matchup of Des Newton, 7-1, versus Henry James, 12-22-3, while London's Your Call tops their night with the Chris Davies, 9-0, versus Daryl Sharp, middleweight clash. And Dorset will see lightweight Lucas Ballingall and Jamie Quinn go at it. Germany has a lot of action, starting in Ludwigshafen, where Avni Yildirim, he's 20-1, 12 knockouts, takes on Lolenga Mock, 42-14-1, for the WBC International Super Middleweight crown. Also on that card is the battle for the GBU Intercontinental Super Middleweight belt between the 28-2 with 25 knockouts, Vincent Fagenbrutz, and the 16-2-1 with 10 KOs, Yusuf Kangwil. And both Suku Alte, 6-0, and Dariso Andrushevili, 6-1, seek the vacant GBU International Heavyweight belt. Magdeburg will host the Battle of Unbeaten Heavyweights as Tom Schwartz, 21-0, 13 KOs, and Julian Fernandez, 11-0, 8 KOs, fight for Schwartz's WBO Intercontinental Heavyweight crown. Also, light heavyweights Adam Daines, 15-0-1, and Mustafa Chalui, 12-3-2, both seek the vacant WBC International silver title. Meanwhile, in Hamburg, it's Christian Hammer, 22-5, versus David Gokushevili, 22-11, in the heavyweight headliner. Augsburg, Belgium highlights their night with the female super middleweight battle between Famke Hermans, 18-1, and Esther Konechna, 1-7-1. Copenhagen, Denmark highlights the female featherweight fight between Sarah Mahfood, 5-0, and Stephanie Ducastel, 8-4-2. And the middleweight matchup of Gyvor Kakachkian, 27-2, 13 knockouts versus Vladimir Romanenko, 8-7, tops the bill in Herlihy, Netherlands. Kevin Stewart, Switzerland, highlights the Exxon Malikaz versus Bacho Krasjefidi of middleweight contest. In Trondheim, Norway, we'll see Anders Egan step in against Maxim Onyshenko in the middleweight feature there. In Kemerov, Russia, we'll see the cruiserweight battle of Dmitry Kudryavtsev, 22-2, all 22 wins by knockout, versus Alexandru Jur, 17-1, 7 KOs. And Kudryavtsev, he was the guy that lost the WBA world title fight last year to Dorticos back in last September, which was the quarterfinal of the World Boxing Super Series. And there's a new startup of that. We'll be talking about that in the next couple of weeks, too, folks, the next round of the World Boxing Super Series event. But anyway, it's a big night for Kudryavtsev to see if he can get back into the top of that game. Also, the cruiserweight fight between Mateusz Kubizin and Paweł Kuchanski fills the bill in Poznań, Poland. Aidos Yerbasanuli, 8-0, 7 KOs, and Aleksander Suchet, 22-4-1, 12 knockouts, vie for the vacant WBC Asian Boxing Council super middleweight title, and Borbizhan Mamanov, 8-0, and Jujesi Igwos, 13-3, both seek the interim WBC Asian Boxing Council Continental Welterweight crown, and it all takes place at Akhubinsk, Kazakhstan. Action in the Far East today includes Xing Jiang, 14-4-2, versus Barito Sabino, 27-5-1 for the vacant WBC silver light flyweight belt. And Zhihu Wu, 8-2-1 versus Kosatsu Takahara, 15-11-3, vie for the vacant WBC Asian Boxing Council Continental Heavyweight belt, in action taking place in Qingzhou, China. Yongjing, South Korea, will see Kudryashan Pulatov, 9-3, and Salon Coral, 17-6, vie for the vacant WBA Asia Super Welterweight title. Cavite, Philippines, will feature the 10-round battle between bantamweight Robin Langley, 9-2, and Jason Buena-Obra, 6-3-3. And light heavyweight contest at Rohan Murdoch, 22-1, 16 rows by knockout, versus Pablo Daniel Zamora Nieves, 33-15-1, will end the night in Brisbane, Queensland, Australia. There we go. 20 countries around the world on the 15th of September. And some good action going on all over the world. And that's what we do here.
How many countries, Bob?
20.
20, wow.
Yep. 20 countries,
wow.
Yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, 20 countries. That's really, really something, brother. We'd like to talk about quite a few things that's in the news too, Bob. You know,
yes.
Mayweather and Pacquiao are stirring up news that Mayweather came out and said that the Pacquiao and Mayweather fight's going to be this year. Isn't that something?
Yeah. Yes, it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, you figure, Bob, if the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight, if they do half of the numbers what they did in their first fight, is still a lot of money.
Yes, it is.
And if they do half of what they did the last fight, they may top this fight that's going on tonight in pay-per-view sales if it happened. It's all about getting the message out and the news out to people that the fight's going to happen, and will they buy in? I think they buy in, with Pacquiao winning that title and Mayweather been sitting out for a while. People feel Pacquiao may have gained the upper hand, who was practicing his tools and got his tools sharp and right, and that maybe he can come back and dust off Mayweather's trunks. What a lot of people are waiting to see, and if Pacquiao's able to, to get a win over Mayweather in the thick of things, it sets up a trilogy fight. Well, it would be number three then. And
right.
Wouldn't that be something for boxing? So, but as well, there was news also in that Pacquiao was suing Bob Arum, what was online. Them two go back and forth fighting in court like they're walking in the grocery store fighting over the newspaper. Them two, they're always in court. But Eddie Hearns, is in the picture too, because Eddie Hearns been signing up a lot of fighters left and right. And with this streaming service that he got, fighters are running to him. And guess what? Manny Pacquiao been over there talking to him. Mayweather is pretty good friends with Anthony Joshua, and Anthony Joshua has been to Mayweather's training facility in Vegas quite a few times, and Mayweather's been with Anthony Joshua. So Matchbox Promotions, you know, maybe they're working some deals out to try to make that fight happen. Who knows, man? When you got investment capital, you can do a lot of things that other people can't do that have to go look for the money. Eddie Hearns has a lot of capital, and when you got the heavyweight champion of the world, who's the top prize, something else happens too. You can do a lot of things different that other people can't do when the type of money a heavyweight champion like Anthony Joshua brings to the table. But he's up against fighting, Bob. He has a fight coming up, right?
Yes, he has a fight next weekend that's going to be against Alexander Povetkin. But I'll just, before we jump onto that, Eddie Hearn also put out an offer this week. Again, they're looking to do this April 13th fight with Wilder in Wembley. You know, here we go again, negotiating around. You know. So he's going to start out. He might have it figured out by the end of the year, you know, or something so they can get training. But hey, you know, there you go. Of course, it does depend on Joshua versus Povetkin tomorrow night as well. I mean, next week.
Well, that's a classic matchup. Now, as we have this fight tonight that's happening out in Vegas, right, there was a little controversy in that leading up to this fight, you know, about steroids and all that. They don't want to mention that, but it's something to mention. And Povetkin has history of that. You know, not passing drug tests. So it's real interesting the fight with Anthony Joshua. Just say the worst of the scenarios happen. Anthony Joshua gets beat, right? And then Povetkin fails another drug test. Wouldn't that be something? But it really missed. Mix up the different scenarios that can happen, but that's a real good fight. If Anthony Joshua can step in the ring with Povetkin, who's a well-seasoned former champion and all of that, if he can put the finishing touches on him and knock him out, the Wilder fight. If he fights a Tyson Fury, because don't forget now we have Frank Warren over there in England,
right,
who has
yeah.
Tyson Fury that's biting at the bit. You know, Tyson Fury's coming off a win. You know, he's looking to climb in the ring, too, with Anthony Joshua. So, you know, you got a lot of good scenarios playing out here. And
the Wilder Fury thing, too, as well, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing about Wilder is, you know, he's going to have to climb in there with somebody at some time because the PR is going to run out. You know, and I like Wilder, terrific puncher, man. You know, a puncher always brings excitement to the game, you know, because he could be losing the whole fight in one shot, scratch. Dead on the money, and it's a game changer. You know, Julian Jackson was a prime example. With Harold Graham, he was losing the whole fight. But eyes closed, bloody nose, one shot, it was lights out for the whole night. So, and Dante Wilder has that type of punching power, and that's what makes it interesting with a Tyson Fury or Anthony Joshua. If them two and them three can climb in the ring now, you know White is lingering in the background too, Bob.
Dylan White, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's lingering, you know. He's right in position with all of them guys. So can they get White to fight Wilder first and see the outcome of that over in England, the Pac-Man, because he draws people over there too. So they have a lot of great scenarios, but the thing is, everybody talks a good game, but nobody wants to sign their name on the dotted line. Look,
Right, right.
All of that back and forth is fine, this and that. But what makes a great fighter great, he has to fight other great fighters to be great. That's what made Muhammad Ali, you know, great fighters, Larry Holmes, you know, they fight other great people. And Dante Wilder, Anthony Joshua, they're going to have to mix it up. If they want their name in the history books of being great, put it on the line, man. You're going to have to fight somebody if you want to be considered in the history books great. You know, you're going to have
exactly.
to do that at some point in time. You got to put and it's a good thing. They can say whatever they want about Don King. And, you know, I'm kind of partial with this, but however, Don King may be the best at making the big fights happen. He can get guys to sign second to none to close the deal on these big fights like that. You know, from Ali Frazier, Ali Foreman, you know, Joe Frazier, all of those different types of great fights, Larry Holmes and Ken Norton. Then later on down the line, the Julio Cesar Chavez, the Mike Tysons, all of those great fighters through that 70s, 80s era, you know, the matchups were there and they made the matchups happen. You know what I mean? And they were able to get people to sign on the dotted line. So, you know, Mr. Hearns, I like you. Your task is up, man. You got to sign, man. Spread that cash you got around, man. And I want some of it, too, because I'm going to help you sign these guys, too. So, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. We want a part of the deal, too. We want some of that cash. You got all of that cash you flying around. You think the World Boxing Review radio show and stuff don't want some of that cash? We're streaming live,
absolutely.
Bob.
Absolutely. That's right.
You know, easy for us to incorporate our feed with our great historians that we have, a great radio TV guy like yourself, Bob. And we can do it. We can hammer it home for you, second to none. Matter of fact, we should be his United States representative. We'll get Dante Wilder to sign. We know what to do to get him to sign his name on the dotted line to make them big fights, man. You know, we'll get it done.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just one other point I want to make before we jump in. A date has been confirmed now for the Alexander Usyk, Tony Bellew cruiserweight battle. That's November 10th, Manchester Arena. Of course, Usyk, we were talking about that World Boxing Super Series earlier where this Kudryashov is going to be fighting tonight over in Russia. But Usyk's got the four belts, and they were wondering if they were going to be moving up to a heavyweight, but they're going to keep it for all four belts. So there was a little question last week whether Bellew was going to have to fight somebody else, but they got that together, so that's going to be a good one to watch coming up, too.
Yeah, and tonight's matchup with Triple G and Canelo, I hope these two young men put on a great show. They signed their name on the dotted line. This is a rematch. Make the fight exciting, man. Put it on the line. And when you do that, the boxing fans are the winner. And the boxing fans are the ones who count. You know what I mean, Bob? They're the ones who count. So if they put themselves on the line, everything will be all right.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, good. Okay, I kind of dropped out there for a second, but
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. With that fight, you know, it's who went back and trained and made the adjustments for the first fight. You know, the question is, will Canelo Alvarez move like he done before in the first fight, or will he stay there and fight counterpunching back Triple G up? That's going to be the questions tonight in this fight. But without further ado, Bob, we have a very special guest that's been on our show before. that's hanging in the queue, and we're going to bring them in. James Ali Bashir and Ivanka Habini. I believe that's how you say it. Welcome to the show. Way over there, overseas in Europe. How you doing, champ?
I'm doing pretty good, Aaron.
Well, where is it, man? You're like the bingo long and the travel and all star, brother. Where are you located at now?
Right now, I'm in Zagreb, Croatia. And I'm with the current IBO. Pardon me?
Yeah, go ahead. You're with the current
IBO. Yes.
Current IBO middleweight champion of the world, Ivana Habazin.
That's the way you say her last name.
Ivana Habazin.
Ivana Habazin.
Well, she's been champion before, IBF welterweight champion. Now she's the IBO middleweight champion. Is that correct? There's a great matchup that you're trying to make, right? Explain to our fans, what you're trying to do here.
Well, Cecilia Breckhouse is considered to be the best pound-for-pound female fighter in the world today. Ivana lost a tight decision to her after 4 weeks of training, and quite naturally, she wants a rematch. It's been a little over 4 years now, and she hasn't given a rematch, and she's really applying for that.
So how can you make this rematch happen? Is it a two different promoters type of thing? Is there one promoter? Is she independent? You know, how can this come about, Bashir?
We have to be consistent in winning. We made a title defense last Saturday, and we have to be consistent. We have to come right back and fight another fight. And another fight, to put pressure on the champion, if you will, to put pressure to make her, to force up the fight. Because it seems to me, I don't know actually, but it seems to us, Ivana and I, that she doesn't want to give the rematch. For what reasons, I don't know.
Maybe you know the reason. She's afraid she's gonna she won't get that little edge she had the first time with the scorn. She feels she ain't gonna get it. But let me tell you, Bass, we were just saying earlier is that what makes great fighters, as you well know, because you've been with the Klitschko brothers all of them great years, training and working with him, Emanuel Stewart, and them, is that, and that's what y'all do. Did with the Klitschko's, and this is what you're asking for this young lady. Is this what you're saying?
Yes. This young lady that I'm with, she's asking for the fight. She's been asking for the fight. This is what forced her to move to the middleweight division because she was the number one contender in the welterweight division for those years and never got a rematch. So she moved to the middleweight division, but she's willing to drop weight to come back to the welterweight division to claim the throne. She wants that fight, and her words thus far has fallen on deaf ears. We need to make that fight. While both women are in their primes, we don't want the fight. It won't mean as much if Cecilia Breckhouse goes past her prime. The victory won't mean as much. Ivana wants her while she still is in her best form.
Now, is Champ Ivana, is she by your side there?
Yes, she is. Here she is right here.
Well, let's hear from the champ. Welcome to the World Boxing Review Radio Show. What would you like, champ? What would you like? Your trainer Bass's talk, what would you like to do? Tell the world.
You mean with the fight with Cecilia or global?
Any of them. What's in your plans? You want a rematch? What's in your plan?
Yeah,
in your mind.
My first goal is rematch with Cecilia, definitely, because I'm sure I can beat her. I'm sure I can knock her out. We spar a couple of times after my fight, so So she know I can beat her. So I think she is really afraid because she doesn't want to lose. She's pound for pound for now. But yes, our goal is rematch with Cecilia. Because I think I deserve that. When we met 2014, that was the first unification fight in women's boxing history for all four titles. So I lose on points. Everybody was thinking that she's gonna knock me out, but she didn't. And I think I deserve the new chance because I am the only one who stands in front of her like a champion.
Now, would you travel to the U.S. or down under to Australia? Where would you travel anywhere to fight her?
I am ready to fight anywhere. It's gonna be U.S., Britain, Norway, Australia. I will be ready. I don't have a problem to fight anywhere.
Okay, so you can't get her no time soon if you can't do that. What do you have up and coming? What up-and-coming fights were you going to defend?
We will see. For now, I'm going to take one week break, and after that we start working again with training and everything. If I don't get a fight with Cecilia, my next fight is going to be in December for defending my title again. We have a couple of options for a new opponent, but we will see. We didn't decide yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I need
Any
to be
questions?
Constant in fighting.
Any questions, Bob, for her?
No, actually, I'm good. Go ahead. No.
All right. Our boxing historian, Henry Hathcock, he's in
I didn't
the queue.
Yeah.
Henry, any questions for Yvonne?
Well, I just tuned on, but I know she's a terrific fighter, and she has a terrific trainer. I mean, a world-class trainer in Bashir, and you know, she deserves that another shot. And I, you know, hopefully, you know, we, the public, can do something and get this thing made because, you know, that's what it's all about. You know, like you said before, the best should fight the best. And she is the best out there for this title.
Bashir, what's your overall view of the situation? Just, you know, go down the line, go back through it again for us, so we understand what's going on.
The only reason that I've taken on the task of training Ivana is because I believe in her. You know, I worked with her 3 weeks. In that 3 weeks, I saw what I needed to see, and that convinced me to become her trainer. We met, you know, and she asked me to come into the camp with us, share the camp with her. We shared the camp for 3 weeks down in South Africa, and that convinced me to come here to Croatia to train her for her first title defense. Now, Cecilia Breakhoff, in her own right, is a great champion. She's a very, very talented boxer. You know, she's very, very talented. And she's done practically everything in boxing. But I except for give Ivana a rematch. And I, as Henry just said, I think that boxing owes it to the fans to come back and bring back the old-school flavor where the best fought the best. And now it's a bunch of people walking around trying to make multi-million dollar deals, which is not bad, but when it hurts the fans, that's when it becomes bad. Because the boxers is overlooking the fact that the fans is the one that makes the point. So that we owe it to the fans to give the fans a good contest between two talented women. You know, and I think that Ivana and Cecilia makes a great fight. Ivana says that she believes she can beat her. I have no other recourse but to believe her too.
And you touch on a point here. You know, when you put the best against the best, including women's boxing has come a long way, as you well know. If when you match the best with the best, it only uplifts the sport. And also it uplifts women boxing. They will see talent in both of these women. Understand the skill of boxing, the hit, not get hit, counter punching, you know, lateral movement, coming forward, putting pressure, but they can deliver the knockout blows, both of them. And to see both of them fight each other is entertaining. The first fight was entertaining as a boxing fan, and this too will be entertaining. You know, both of them are matured in a lot of different ways. Yeah, they'll see even more.
Even more, because each one of them has progressed since then. These, if watching these women box, the two of them box, is artistry. It's beautiful. You never would expect for women to box like that. I mean, most of the time when people think about women boxing, they think about a cat fight. But these women display expertise, you know, like you said, counterpunching, jabbing, hooking, you know, stepping forward, stepping back, being aggressive, being defensive. You know, people will see a great, great fight. And I'm anxious to see this fight.
They really see this
fight. Not only from a trainer's perspective, I want to see it from a fan's perspective.
Oh, absolutely. And plus, you know, when you see a fighter go seek a well-seasoned Hall of Fame trainer like James Ali Bashir, they're ready for the next level, trust me. And, you know, with the things that you work with the Klitschko brothers and to bring her into a fight like that, I mean, you're going to see the very best. And the very best will be brought out in both of these. I say just make the match and go for it. And it should be on one of those big cards that they're doing in Europe. Yes.
She brings out the best in me.
That's right.
She brings out the best in me. She makes me love the sport, you know. Sometimes you get a lull in action. It becomes mundane, if you will. You know, you're just going through emotions. She reignited my fire as a trainer, you know, to get up and really
make you go in that large repertoire you got, the years of experience, where you can really teach the little things that really matter. You know what I mean? And, you know, you got a large repertoire, and she's making you dig deep, deep, deep down in that repertoire. But, Bashir, you know, we have to let you go. Your time's up. Before closing, how do you want to close? What do you want to finish saying? We got 60 seconds.
I want to close by saying that boxing is missing real teachers. You know it. Henry knows it. And all of the people out there listening land knows it. Boxing is missing real teachers. We're looking for a good fight between Ivana Hobbeson and Cecilia Breckhoff. Please help make the fight. The people out there listening, make this fight. This is a fight that you don't want to miss.
Well, hey, look, we'd like to thank you and Ivaka, the champion.
Yes, and before he goes, you know, again, James, I just want to give my condolences. You know, another listening audience don't know that you lost a brother about a couple of weeks ago, and you know, he's a dear friend of mine also. His name is Ronald, and I know it was a tough time for you and the family, and I know at the funeral I had the honor of giving a eulogy along with Larry Hazard, and we rang the bell and in his honor. So you know, I just want to tell you how sorry I am about the passing of your brother.
I'm grateful.
Yeah, what a referee. Yeah, referee, judge, all of that. Your family's been in boxing, and all of y'all credit to the sport. And thank you for coming on the World Boxing Review radio show. And we'll talk again to keep this thing moving. But without further ado, go ahead.
Thank you so much for the interview. You're welcome.
We'd like to welcome people into the World Boxing Review. My name is Aaron Snowell. They call me the Hall of Fame Trainer of Champions, the radio aficionado, Bob Murray, and our boxing historian, Henry Hascop, doing the legend, the undefeated heavyweight champion of the world, Rocky Marciano. Come on with it, Bob, man. This is exciting when you got a guy like Rocky you're doing. What do we got?
Well, you know, when you say Rocky Marciano, you know, the thing that comes up is that 49-0 with 43 knockouts, you know, undefeated heavyweight champion of the world. But he got his start, you know, actually when he was in the U.S. Army, you know, in 1943. He didn't want KP duty, so he took up boxing, believe it or not, and he did pretty well. And then when he got out, you know, he wasn't going to go for boxing. You know, he was overweight. He smoked a lot. But a friend of his convinced him to enter an amateur tournament, which he did. And he was really out of shape. And thing was that in the third round, he got disqualified because he was kind of a rough and tough fighter. And but the thing was that he learned from that fight. He learned that the next time he ever stepped in a ring, or any time he stepped in a ring, he was going to be in condition. And that's what he did. He conditioned himself like no other fighter did. I mean, he trained and trained and trained, and then all of a sudden he started getting better. You know, his amateur career wasn't long. I think he had like 12 fights. He won 8, and he lost 4. But during that time, he actually fought a professional fight that wasn't picked up until years later. It was in 1947. He fought underneath the name of Rocky Mack, and he knocked his opponent out in the third round. So, but that fight wasn't picked up until, you know, many, many years later when he confessed that he did have an amateur professional fight while he was an amateur. But anyway, he hooked up with Al Weill and Charlie Goldman, you know, as far as fighting goes. And also before that, his number one sport was actually baseball. He wanted to be a catcher, and he actually tried out for the Chicago Cubs. But his arm wasn't as good as it could have been, and he wasn't that fleet of foot. So, you know, that kind of went to the wayside. But anyway, when he hooked up with Weill and Goldman, you know, he started off his professional career. And, you know, he was knocking everybody out. And then he fought a guy by the name of Eddie Ross. Eddie Ross was also handled by Weill and Goldman, and they wanted a just opponent for Eddie, and they figured to put Marciano against him. Well, surprise, surprise, Marciano knocked Ross out in the first round, and, you know, all of a sudden, the next time, you know, Weill and Goldman was in Rocky's corner. So during the course of his career, you know, he started beating, you know, better and better fighters. I think he was like 20-0 with like 19 knockouts, and he went against this guy by the name of Ted Lowry. Yeah, a real tough guy. He had like 120 fights. And, you know, Lowry actually did a number on him, especially in the beginning of the fight. And, you know, at the end, it was kind of close. They gave Rocky the decision, but he learned from that. You know, he always learned from you know, even when he wasn't that good. So they went back to his hometown, and then, you know, he finally got a shot at Madison Square Garden against Pat Richards, and he knocked him out in the second round. Then two fights later, he fought another up-and-coming heavyweight by the name of Carmen Vingo. Carmen Vingo was a very tall heavyweight. He was 16-1 at the time. And Rocky Marciano, you know, was also undefeated. They put each other against each other. I believe Vingo was only like 20 years old at the time. In fact, it was only a couple of days past his 20th birthday. He never even fought a fight that was scheduled for more than 6 rounds. And they put him against Rocky Marciano. And in the beginning, it was a rough, tough fight. They both went back and forth, hurting each other. But at the end, Carmen, you know, was almost like paralyzed with Rocky's punches, and he was actually carried from the ring. He was put in a coma for a while, and then he did survive, but he never fought again. You know, Rocky even stated that if something happened to Vingo, if he never pulled out, he wasn't going to lace up a glove anymore. But he did, and Rocky's career continued. Then he fought his first name fighter, Roland Lestarja. That was in 1950, March 24th, 1950. And that was at Madison Square Garden. And, it was another rough, tough fight. Marciano had a point taken away from him in one round, and he knocked Lestarja down in another round. And it was a split decision, and Rocky got the benefit of the decision. A lot of people thought he might have lost it, but he did get the benefit of that decision. But back again, he went to Rhode Island, to refine his craft, because they figured, Lestarza was a boxer puncher. They wanted him to go against boxer punchers, so they put him against several guys that were boxer punchers, but not in the class of Lestarza. He fought another like 10 bouts, and then he went against Rex Lane. Now, Rex Lane had a record of 34-1. He was a protege of Jack Dempsey, and that was supposed to be a really, rough and tough fight for both of them. It was at Madison Square Garden. Lane was actually the favorite of the fight, but in the sixth round, Rocky put a right to his jaw, and Rex Lane was out. Two fights later, he fought the immortal Joe Louis. Now, Joe Louis wasn't the same Joe Louis as he was 10 years before, but he was still Joe Louis. He's 6'2", well over 200 pounds. And Louis did fairly well in the first couple of rounds, but then Rocky just took over, and he knocked Louis out in the eighth round. And, Ruby Goldstein didn't even bother to count because he just halted the bout. And that was Lewis's last fight. And then he was ready, for bigger and better things. And, he beat Harry Matthews, who won his last 50 bouts in a row. And but he was more or less a light heavyweight. But Marciano just walked right through him. And I believe he stopped him in the second round. And so that set up a bout between Jersey Joe Walcott and Rocky Marciano. And, if you watch the fight, it was back and forth, several rounds. Actually, Walcott floored Marciano in the first round, first time Marciano was ever decked. But Marciano got back up. And, but around the middle rounds, something happened to Marciano's eyes. I don't know if it was liniment from Jersey Joe's gloves, that's what they claimed, or something else. But for a round or two, he couldn't see that well, just like when Ali was against Liston. So, it cleared up, but Marciano was still behind on all the judges' scorecards going into the 13th round when he landed probably one of the best, if not the best, right hands in boxing history. And just paralyzed Walcott. And, they both came in with a right hand, and Marciano beat him to the punch. And it was one of the most famous one-knockout punches of all time. And 10 seconds later, we had a new heavyweight champion of the world, and his name was Rocky Marciano. Of course, then he defended against Walcott. Then he always wanted to fight Lestarja again, because Lestarja is the one fighter that a lot of people said actually beat Marciano, just like Ward and the other guy. So so he wanted Lestarja, and he got him. And this time, he was just punching his arms, punching everything he got, and he wore down Lestarja. It was a fairly close fight for a while, but Rocky just took over, and it was the fight of the year for 1953. In the 11th round, Lestarja was knocked through the ropes, and the referee, Goldstein, stopped the fight. And then he went against Ezra Charles, former heavyweight champion of the world, and he won a fairly close decision, and they wanted to give Charles another shot at it, which they did. And then in that fight, Charles opened up Marciano's nose. I mean, there was a cut right up his nose. The doctor was ready to stop the fight. You know, I mean, it was that bad. I mean, blood was all over the place. But they gave him another round, and Marciano came through in the eighth round and knocked the ex-champion Ezra Charles out. And he still regained his heavyweight title. And the next bout was against Don Cockle. That was the only fighter that he defended his title against that wasn't rated number one in the world. He defended his title six times. Five of them were against guys that were rated number one, and Cockle was actually rated number two. And, you know, it wasn't a great fight for Rocky's thing. It was a very sloppy fight. But he came through once again. You know, he always had a way of winning. And in the ninth round, they stopped it. He was just overwhelming Cockle. Of course, the last fight he ever had was against the old mongoose, Archie Moore. You know, the guy that had over 130 knockouts to his record, light heavyweight champion of the world. He just beat Nino Valdez, who was the number one contender for the heavyweight title. And again, Moore knocked Marciano down in the second round. But, Rocky got up and proceeded to knock, you know, Moore down several times. And then finally, in the ninth round, knocked him down for good. And Marciano's, record was intact, 49-0, 43 knockouts. Then, of course, in April of the next year, he decided to retire. Now, the thing is with him, he's one of the guys that is very hard to rate. You know, there was a publication, just an article, you know, who was the most overrated fighter of all time and who's the most underrated fighter of all time. And I think J. Russell Peltz had it right. He said the most overrated fighter was Rocky Marciano. Then he said the most underrated fighter was Rocky Marciano. And he says, chew on that for a while. The thing is that if you just go by his record, you know, 49-0, you know, 43 knockouts, beating guys like Joe Louis, Walcott twice, Ezra Charles twice, Archie Moore. I mean, you can't get better than that. I mean, like I said, he defended his title six times, and five of them were against the number one contender at the time. He fought everybody that was anybody in that era. He was boxing. He was the best heavyweight in boxing from the 1950 all the way up to 1956. Now, the other side is, people will say, well, Lewis was an old man. Walcott was an old man. Charles had almost 100 fights. He was worn out. Archie Moore was almost 40 or past 40. So it's, you know, depends on which way you want to swing the pendulum how do you rate the guy? Because he certainly was one of the hardest punching heavyweights of all time. He only weighed like 180 you know, maybe mid-80s, and he had the shortest reach of any heavyweight. You know, they list him at 68 inches. Other people list it at 67 inches. You know, like I said, he was short, he cut, but he had a way of winning. He knew how to win, and, you know, there was nothing you can really, you know, take away from what he did in the ring. And then later on, you know, they had a computerized fight. It was on the radio, actually. And Marciano, you know, came out on top. He beat, you know, as far as this thing goes, he beat Jack Dempsey in the finals, become the computer champion. Of course, Muhammad Ali, you know, kind of didn't like that because he lost in, I think it was the semifinals against James, or quarterfinals against James J. Jeffries. So they put a computer fight between Ali and Marciano. And the shame of it was that, you know, nobody knew who won until the fight took place on closed circuit TV I believe in 1970. But the thing was that the day before Marciano's birthday in 1969, I think it was August 31st, Marciano's, you know, got killed in a plane crash. And, you know, he never knew that he actually won that fight in the 13th round. But, you know, it was terrible. You know, Marciano had a reputation of being kind of tight with the money, you know. So, you know, anybody who would give him, let's say, a plane ride for nothing, you know, he would take it up. And this time, you know, it didn't go too well for him. And, you know, his life was taken. And a side note, in 1999, when they had the unveiling of the Rocky Marciano stamp, They unveiled it in his hometown in Brockton, Massachusetts, and he also unveiled it in Jersey City, New Jersey, where his brother ran a boxing gym, the Rocky Marciano Gym, and I had the privilege of being the master summer ceremonies for that event. And, you know, a lot of dignitaries came out. You know, the old Chuck Webner was there, too, and, of course, Marciano's brother and a couple of other family members, and we unveiled the stamp. Rocky Marciano.
Now, his statue in Brockton, Mass, Jose Suleiman was very, the president at the time of the WBC, was very instrumental in getting that Rocky statue up there in his hometown. He got
yes,
the
he
ball
was. A lot of people say a lot of things about that guy, but let me tell you something. You know, every time I hear stories like that, and stories like there was this one fighter that fought North Bergen that that kind of, you know, he got shot afterwards, and he was killed, and you know, the next fight they brought his family down to North Bergen and they put him in the ring, and I gave like a eulogy, and I was given 9 count, and Jose Suleiman sent down like a mini belt or some kind of medal to give to that family. I mean, things like that you don't hear about. You always hear about the other side, you know. I mean, WBC does a great job. And so does the IBF, by the way. But, you know, WBC.
Yeah, the IBF and the WBC, you know, all of them, they don't get, all of them don't get to do what they do for fighters and their family and people in boxing, and a lot of stuff goes unheard and untouched. But you know, I had the pleasure, Henry, training up in Grossinger's, which was a Jewish resort area up in Catskill. And Rocky Marciano had trained there at Grossinger's.
Yes, he did.
For a lot of time. And I had the pleasure of going up there and training up there. And at the time, the Mongoose was up there with training fighters at the time. You know, I had the pleasure of eating dinner, talking to him while we were up, all of us were up there. But, yeah, Rocky Marciano was something. And to walk through Grossinger's with the Grossinger family and all that, and knowing that Rocky trained there, they had a bag and stuff his up there is really something. But Henry, we have 90 seconds. What a great job you did with Rocky. How do you want to close this up?
Well, you know, I don't know if you remember the stories or the TV show he had, Main Event. I mean, you know, that was a fabulous show. You know, he would bring a guest like Jackie Gleason on and go over not only his fights, but other fights. And like I said, Rocky Marciano is truly one of the greats of all time, and he's so hard to rate. If he lost just one fight, it wouldn't be any problem, but he never lost. You know, I asked Lou Duva, who's the greatest heavyweight of all time? He says Rocky Marciano. So why do you say that? Because he never lost. So, I mean,
that's a guy
like Lou Duva, and the only other guy to rated him number one that I know of was Al Cerdo. He said almost the same thing. The guy never lost, you know. So that's what I'm saying. Underrated and the most overrated. You know, you got to, you know, just pick and choose, I guess. He's probably somewhere in between.
Well, we have 10 seconds here. In closing, we'd like to thank our guests, James Ali Bashir and Ivanka Habibin, for coming on the show. I'm sorry to mess up your name, but I'm Aaron Snow. They call me the Hall of Fame Trainer of Champions, and our radio aficionado took us 20 countries today on our 52nd year, a one-year show. Congratulations,
one-year show,
Bob
baby.
Yeah, Henry,
thank you for everybody listening,
our Hall
too.
Of Fame
listeners,
history.
Bob has that gift
to
gab.
Tells all of that. Yeah.
I wish I could pronounce the words like he could.
Yeah, I wish I could do it, but I can't. He's just dynamite. With
me neither. I can't even come close.
Yeah, yeah. But, hey, look, teamwork. Teamwork makes the dream work, and the World Boxing Review has becoming a mark in boxing with each day when we Saturday when we go around the world with events, the boxing news, the interviews, the legend tales and boxing history, past and present and future stars on this show. It's a credit to all of y'all who make it happen. Henry, who's a Hall of Fame historian, Tony Trim, and our radio aficionado, Bob Murray. I want to thank you and the boxing fans for tuning in. We're always all online, so you can go hear these shows over and over and over. Man, I want to thank you. 1 year completed, and thank you. It's been a task, but we got more to come. So just stay tuned.
We
thank
got more
you.
To come. Absolutely. Yeah, thanks again, everybody.
More countries.
More countries. More countries.
All right. Have a good weekend.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
See you guys.
Bye.
All right. All right.